Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 561. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
These flaming hot Doritos do not go very well with my beer.
Flaming hot Doritos? I don't think I've ever seen that.
Flaming hot lemon.
Flaming hot lemon Doritos?
Yes, they're delicious, but, you know, not meant for IPA, I don't think.
All right, well. Good to know our beer pairing.
It's bad pairing. Bad pairing.
Don't go IPA and lemon extra hot Doritos. Earl's here.
This episode of the podcast coming to you.
It's come to you.
It's coming to you. I mean, that's pretty much, I'm just putting a stone. It's coming to you. It's coming to you.
It is, sure.
Is there a release date? I don't think
it's
there
coming,
is.
It's coming to you.
You're 2023.
Excited for it. You're excited for it, but, you know, you're excited, you know.
And Jeff is here as well.
Whoa.
Jeff is much less excited about the 2023 release date of this podcast. So. Yeah. So how have you guys been?
Oh, wait, before I just sidetrack this whole entire conversation, anyhow, one of my good followers sent me a pumpkin beer from Missouri this week, and I figured I would try it on air for the first time. It's called Pumpkin Beer for Cafes, and
okay,
it's actually really good. It has like a pumpkin-y taste, but it's not overpowering.
What's the brewery?
It is. Let's see. That is a good question. What is the brewery? Sometimes I wish these cans were a bit more strict. It looks like Off Color Brewing. I think that's by Off Color Brewing. They're from Chicago. This is, what is it? The secret ingredients is pumpkin puree, clove, vanilla beans, cinnamon, nutmeg, and they have a bit of tea in it. So it's a pumpkin ale with some tea for kick.
Ooh.
It's actually one of the better pumpkin beers I've tried, and I've tried a crap ton of them over the past 6 or 7 years now. So yes, just wanted to call that out.
I don't like pumpkin, but is like pumpkin beer kind of like pumpkin spicy?
It's closer to like pumpkin pie.
Yeah, okay.
That's kind of the flavor they're going for. Yeah,
got it.
And you want to find the, because like, yeah, you can go to pumpkin pie where it's just kind of really sugary. Or you can go the other way where it's like, why even call this pumpkin? Because it doesn't taste like anything. I find this is a happy medium.
Okay. I have a new case of different beers coming.
Did you get the beer that made Earl jealous?
The Darth Vader beer? I did not buy the. I actually went back to buy it after Earl said that he couldn't get it. I was like, I'll just get it for the can, and it was sold out. So,
oh no.
They then had two other Star Wars themed beers. One was frozen in carbonite, but the
is it a cold IPA?
I don't know what it was. I think it's gone off the list now. But I did not like speak to me, and the can wasn't cool looking either. And then there was one called The Child, which they say is themed after The Mandalorian. But it has a damn dragon on the can. Like, like that's not Star
dragon,
Wars
dragon
themed.
Child.
Yeah, the Frozen in Carbonite one has like a weird looking kind of, I guess it looks kind of like Han Solo, but just like not his eyes. So it's just as like the lower half of his face and then chest, which is just weird. That is an Imperial IPA.
Ooh, this sounds really good. They have a chocolate cinnamon roll, and it's a brown ale and not a stout. What is the difference, Tony?
Between a brown ale and a stout?
Yeah.
I mean, stouts tend to be darker in color. They kind of, I don't want to say they burn, they toast the oats that they're made with, so it kind of like makes them darker.
Okay, because I was gonna say this one's pretty dark. That's why I was curious. I'm like,
brown ales tend to be sweet. They tend to like have a lot of sugar in them.
Yeah, I assume if you're called Chocolate Cinnamon Roll, that it probably, stouts tend to be more, if anything, not toast based. They tend to be more like vanilla or milk or, you know, some,
Jeff, what are you drinking?
I am drinking just pure gasoline vodka.
I mean, I guess, following up on that, it was actually vodka. just sitting here drinking gasoline. Maybe not the way to go.
No sugar, no oats, no hints of anything. It's just pure.
Straight?
With club soda.
Okay.
Yeah, gotta watch my figure, you know.
Fair enough. It was a busy week for games. A lot of news because of the Sony thing, which we'll get into shortly. But played some games this week. Three of us almost finished Zombie Army 4.
Got so close. Dude. So close. I think we're on the last level.
Yeah.
When did you guys start that game? Like last year or something?
No, we started it. This is like the first time we played it in like 6 weeks or something. Like
It's been a while.
It was so long since we'd forgotten like some of the controls.
but we started it. I think like we started it over to like spring or something. So it was an ass year, but
whenever it came to Game Pass, right?
Pretty much. And I mean part of it was also the last time we tried to play. Okay, not in. Ditching last week. I think the last time we actually tried to pay, we all got on. We were all ready to pay. And the game servers were like, no, you're not.
You were ready.
Yeah, wouldn't let us on at all the last time. I don't know. I had been enjoying this game for the most part up until our play session Tuesday. and I still like, I mean, I had fun playing it with you guys, but the level design got super lazy.
Yeah, at the end, it's just like, you can tell, like, they didn't expect people to make it this far.
Yeah, it's like, before, it was like, oh, you're scouring, like, these European cities, and doing objectives, and fending off stuff, and, like, we did, like, four full levels, I think. And they kept getting shorter and shorter, but it was like, go to this blood fountain and stand in a circle.
Yeah, that's to say, the problem is they got really to the point where it's like, here's a kill room, have fun for 5 minutes, and if it's fun, because you had that one kill room where none of the zombies wanted to come into the circle, so we're just all sitting there like, you know, we're here, we're ready, you folks just need to come to us, and they're like, there was parts where we ended up having to like chase them. Like I think Walt went out to have them chase him so they can come into the circle.
Yeah, but I guess we fight reincarnated zombie Hitler next time we play. So
that's cool.
Finally finish that up. Somehow these weird zombie things did like an incantation and resurrected Hitler. And then we got sent to hell. That was an actual level. The location was just hell.
Hell.
Which was weird because it was very industrial and seemed like a base of sorts. who cares? Like the story in this is dumb, so you just there to shoot tons of zombies. But I think we are all of our are all of your guys' guns fully upgraded now too?
Oh yes.
Like, yeah, so
at least the ones I'm using, I can upgrade other
ones. Yeah. Yeah, like the ones that we've mostly been using, like our loadout is pretty much fully equipped at this point. So maybe we're gonna wrap that up just in time for is it Back for Blood?
Yeah.
Or there was another one coming too, I think. The Anacrucis. I think that's what it was called. It's like the sci-fi kind of like has like that 60s sci-fi vibe to it. I think that was a four-player co-op shooter as well.
What game?
I think it's called the Anacrucis. It takes place on a spaceship. They announced it at E3. And yeah, the Anna Crucis.
And when is that out?
This year. Let's see, it is. Let's see what Steam says. But it is like it's the very like colorful fall 2021. So who the hell knows? I think Back 4 Blood is in October. So we'll have something to play. You guys play anything else besides Zombie Army 4?
Yes. Other games were played. Totally.
What'd you play, Tony?
So I talked about this game last summer. Total War Saga's Troy. Which I found disappointing at the time. So basically they made a Total War game about the Trojan War, but made it super realistic and removed all of the cool mythology stuff. So like there were no gods, there were no like they made the Minotaur into a dude wearing a bull helmet and that kind of stuff. The Cyclops was like some really big one-eyed dude. So basically, you know, they took a mythology and removed all the mythology from it. Made it super realistic. Well, last week they added an expansion to the game, which added all the mythology back. So, you know, you got your griffins and your like all the cavalry in the game became like centaurs and stuff. So,
it's way more fantastical.
Yes, like you could gain the favor of the gods, and the gods would give you like abilities to like you get Zeus's favor. And now you can strike lightning bolts in the middle of the battlefield, like that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
So, the big crux of the game is it adds like three epic quests where you can basically go on a chain of events that lead you to an epic battle against either the Hydra, Cerberus, or the Arch Griffin, all of which are like huge, incredibly difficult battles to win. But if you win them, you get to get this creature on your side and then like take the Hydra into battle. I really like this expansion. I think it's fantastic. I think it really gives you the game that they should have given us last summer. But it's really hard to complain about the game they gave us last summer because it was for free on the Epic Store.
Yeah.
So, like, I was more than willing to pay, I think it was like $25 for this expansion, which, like, finally gave me the game that I really wanted. Like, I want my ancient Greek army of centaurs and a Hydra and you know, undead spirits, and like I want all that cool like Greek mythology stuff in the game, and it's finally there. It's not just like Achilles walking around looking badass. It's, you know, Achilles looking badass as he fights an army of centaurs. That looks great. It's fantastic. It's so much fun.
Good.
So it adds a bunch of epic quests, like you can send your army out to go do stuff. But I got a Gorgon in my army, and I sent him off to a city, which it like turned all the people to stone, like all the, like the defending army. So I just went over and just conquered the city because everyone was dead. That was cool.
It's like Total War is known for its big like giant battle scenes. Like
yeah,
you said you, like. Does and they're pretty cinematic
mm-hmm.
the way they look. How does that lightning look coming down?
The visuals in this game are fantastic. I remember the game was actually built in an older Total War engine. They seem to have improved it a lot, so everything looks awesome. So those kind of like, there's also one where you can make a tidal wave.
Oh.
Like with Poseidon's favor,
Poseidon,
like,
yeah,
just like wipe everybody off the map. I unfortunately am an idiot. I keep going for Ares' favor, which is great, but you know, the fact that my troops don't want to run away from battle, they want to go berserk and kill everything. I mean, it's great in battle, but it just doesn't look as awesome as, you know, fire from the sky or something.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
So, and you said what the expansion is, $25?
It's $25, which, that's, I mean, if you hopped out of the Epic Store and got it for free last year, pretty good price.
I believe I did do that, so. You play anything else?
Not really. I played a lot of that. I played so much of it.
So much, so much.
So much.
Earl, what have you been playing?
I was like, you know, I do pay for Game Pass. I should use it from time to time.
Yeah.
So I downloaded a game called Dodgeball Academia, which Academia is a action RPG, I guess. The best way I can kind of describe it, I don't know if any of you watch them, it's like a show in anime. It's essentially like you're a new kid at a school that's very, very big into dodgeball. And you go around the school fighting other castmates and getting stronger and learning about like your super dodgeball moves. And the combat is dodgeball centric. So you take on battles in dodgeball. It's an action RPG. It's like you play dodgeball, and it's not like, you know, it's not like traditional dodgeball, one hit, you're out. You have a health meter, so you try to knock people out. You can grab a ball, you can counter throws to do damage or negate damage. You could have, you know, one-on-one matches. You could have two-on-two, three-on-three. There's different types of rules. Like the one that they introduced recently is, I forget what it's called exactly, but like once a player is eliminated from either side, that person then goes on the backside of the other team. It's like if I eliminate an opponent, they will go behind my thing. So any balls that like I don't catch or don't have in my possession, they can grab and then they can throw it from behind you. So you're then paying attention to them as well as the people you're trying to take out as well. Like I said, it's an RPG. So like the main character, Otto, he's fire based. So you charge up his shot. If you hit an opponent with it, it will, you know, knock them down, but it will also do fire damage for a couple of seconds. Your backup is, I forget her name, but she does lightning attacks. So like, you know, if she charges up, she can she'll stun an opponent real quick. And then a new guy just got is called Bruinzi, who's our healer. So you know, he does attacks, and he can like, his super is like he will help heal the people on his team and stuff like that. And like I said, you get super moves. Like one super move is kind of like the Hadouken, so it's a straight fireball shot. The other one you can rain down lightning. And then your opponents have all of the same moves, so it's kind of learning their patterns and learning their tricks and trades. Like I said, it's very showing. It's very kind of Saturday morning cartoon. So far, what I've been doing is running around the school. It's like no grand scheme to take over the world or anything yet. Fighting other students, getting stronger. Right now, we've entered into a tournament, which is like, it's broken up into like episodes. So I've done episode 1 and 2. Episode 1 is kind of getting to know the school and, you know, form your team. Episode 2 is kind of like, you know, getting the things sent to the tournament and playing in the first round of the tournament. And so after, you know, after that, you can go back to your room to talk to people. You can buy items. You can, you know, explore the campus and, you know, stuff like that. So far, I'm having a great deal of fun with it. It's really funny. It's really charming. The art style is really, you know, it's a very clean kind of 2D hand-drawn look to it. It's a 3D game, but you know, your characters are 2D models essentially. So yeah, I'd recommend it so far.
That's on Game Pass?
Yes.
Nice.
Price is right.
Yeah.
The price is right. I mean, yeah, and I think it's one of those games, and I think it's really what Game Pass is made for, because I don't think, I mean, I can probably count on my hands the number of RPGs that are like sports based. The only one I know of is Inazuma Eleven, and I think there's I forget the other soccer based like action RPG franchise there is. So the fact that they did this, and so far it's turning out to be fun. I haven't found it repetitious, because that was my original fear. Because I mean, it is dodgeball. Like, you don't think there's a ton you can do with it, but they found ways to make it interesting so far.
Well, I might have to try that one out. Speaking of Game Pass, I played this little game Omno, which is a 3D platformer, puzzle platformer type thing that has very like very a very muted art style. I guess kind of like if you know, Journey-ish, I guess, like very not very detailed, but like there's like a cool visual approach to everything. And that game is super like chill. It is just, you know, they give you these levels, you go, there's like a few things to explore and grab. Like there's these glyphs that give you a little bit more of the story. There's these like cute animals that are out there. So you're like filling in your codex for that. And then there's these orbs that unlock the gate to the next area. And figuring out how to get to the orbs sometimes involves like a simple puzzle. And then when you get three of the orbs, it unlocks the next area. You have to do like a big puzzle to complete it. Quite fun. Super like, you know, easy going. There's no conflict or anything. It's just, you go through these like cool levels as you're on this like spiritual journey. Seems like you're trying to go on this like journey as like this, you're called a staff bearer, and you're, you know, trying to figure out where you're like a monk or whatever, trying to figure out where humanity goes when it's all over. But along the way, you kind of like get this little attachment to this little green flying dog creature. It's really cool. Short game, 3-4 hours, and on Game Pass. So, you know, it's free.
Yeah.
For Game Pass. Jeff.
Hello.
What Hellscape game have you been playing?
We know, but it's not a Hellscape game from, like, everybody else seems to be having issues, but not Jeff.
Oh, yeah, well, someone did show me, oh, no, the Xbox version has issues, too. I had no issues with the game. Sonic Colors Ultimate, we're talking about here.
Yep.
So I guess the Switch version is kind of, well, I mean, that's the one that's supposedly the most fucked up. And that, like, I remember the day after it came out, like, everyone was showing just the game glitching out, like, fucking seizure-inducing visuals and stuff. I didn't have any of those issues with it. It kind of makes me worried because I pre-ordered Super Monkey Ball on the Switch because it just feels right on the Switch. I'm like, fuck, man, should I get that on Xbox?
I mean, the one thing I will say in regards to that is, as far as I could tell, Super Monkey Ball is an internal project where Sonic Colors is external. It's licensed out to a porting company, so...
Well, yeah, I hope it works. I just feel like Super Monkey Ball just feels right on a Nintendo console, but also, like, I think Switch is more friendly to, like, local multiplayer, and, you know, so that's why I want it there.
But, yeah, I mean, it's built in with, like, the system, that, like, if you have the base system, it's built in with two controllers.
I have way more controllers for the Switch. You generally don't have to like log into an account to play multiplayer, which happens sometimes on Xbox with stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so just weird.
You know. So, but Sonic Colors it's still a really good Sonic game. I'd say my favorite still is Generations, but you know, it's up there. I don't know. There's not much different than the Wii one. There's like, they added like cosmetic things that you could get, like, you know, shoes and stuff like that. Like there's like coins throughout the level that they added and you could buy clothes with.
Was the original only on Wii?
Yeah. Okay. And you know, so if you're playing on Series X, it's 4K, 60 frames per second. And so, yeah, it is an upgrade, like for sure, but it's the same game. To me, it does have a little too much like 2D segments that are like all reliant on the wisps, which are like these, you know, temporary power-ups you get. But it's a good game, like it's a solid game. I did find like some of the bosses a little frustrating, but then I would like figure out what the trick was, I guess, or whatever. last couple levels were frustrating. I almost gave up. I was like, fuck this level. Like, there's a level near the end. It's only like 2.5 minutes long, but like, I was just getting so fucking pissed off at it. I almost gave up. It's like, does the thing where like a giant enemy starts chasing you and the camera like swings around to where like you're running at the camera and the enemy is like chasing after you, you know, one of those segments.
Yeah.
So if you get hit, you lose all your rings and there's like no opportunity to pick them up because you're like auto running basically, you know? So it's like, and this thing just starts shooting fucking lasers at you that you have to, you know, dodge left or right to avoid. And there's like these little eyes on top of its head that like start blinking to indicate which lasers it's going to use. And you have to, you know, press left or right to dodge them. Well, at one point during this, the fucking camera like tilts a little bit and you can't see the fucking, the indicators on top of his head. So you're like, I'm just getting hit by these lasers that I can't see where they're coming from.
That doesn't seem like a problem.
I did this like a million times. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, do I just have to memorize like what he's going to do at this part? Like, what the fuck do I have to do? And you know, finally, like, looked it up. It's like once that like happens, you just have to boost really quick and you'll outrun the lasers, and that's the end of the level. Like, I was like so close to beating the fucking level probably like, you know, 10 times at least. And all I had to do was start boosting, which I did not realize. But that was like, that's kind of like, then you got like one asshole final boss after that, and that's kind of the end of the game. And that final boss was pretty tough too, but you know, eventually you'll just get it. I don't know. I think I kind of agree with people though that like Colors is up there. Yeah, I think the only one I would probably put above it is Generations. So I don't know. It's a short game, $40. I don't know. Don't, if you're not like a huge Sonic fan,
don't buy
I'd,
it.
I'd wait for sale.
Yeah, it'll probably be on sale in a couple months. So
for sure,
especially that Switch version.
Yeah.
You play anything else, Jeff?
Just tonight I played that Namco Museum collection I was asking you about. Yeah. That's neat. I think you talked about it out here before, but it's just a pretty small Namco Museum collection. I think it's like 11 games.
Yes.
But it has a demastered Pac-Man Championship Edition, which I think actually looks really good. Like, it's neat, like, you know, it's not as flashy as like the original on Xbox or whatever, but I think it still looks pretty cool demastered. And I just always forget that there's like the regular version and the DX version. I don't know why they didn't throw in like a DX variant on it. That would have been nice.
This is just the one map, right? Like, there's
You know what? I was playing it though, and I'm like, didn't the original Pac-Man Championship Edition have bombs? Like, if you got like in a tight spot, you could like bomb your way out of it, or no? Was that in DX?
That's DX, and okay. then they changed how bombs work in 2.
Two, I was never able to figure out.
Yeah, I don't understand 2 at all. Like,
but
you had a perfect formula, you messed it up.
Pretty much all that Namco shit is on sale right now on the eShop. And, you know, like, I think Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 is on sale also for, like, $6. I thought about it. I was like, I don't know. This thing was $5, normally 20. And even if I, like, don't play any of the other games on there, which I doubt I'll play a lot of, but $5, dude. Like, fucking pretty cool. Pretty, yeah. Like, grab it. Well, it's going to be on sale, I think, for another couple of weeks. Like, I'd say grab that for $5.
But it's normally 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they're like, when that came out, they split it into like volume 1 and 2. I don't know why. Why didn't you just release it as 1 for $20?
Oh, so you got both. Why. You got both for
$5. I did not, but okay. That one is, you know, volume 2, if you're interested, is on sale. Like, basically anything like that is on sale right now on the eShop. I thought about getting the other one. That one has some other game that they demastered, but I don't know it. I think it's some game that was only released in Japan before. And just looking at the list of games, I was like, ah, I mean, it's $5. Like, who gives a shit? But nothing was like, like, the only reason I got this one really is because it had that
neat version it's such a
championship. Yeah.
It's such a cool idea to like take this, like, you know, because Pac-Man has like that old visual aesthetic, the original Pac-Man. So you can just like kind of drop it down, but give that newer gameplay. With that aesthetic, so yeah, I thought that worked really well.
Yeah, it works well.
That's why I got it.
It works well, and it looks pretty cool still, like demastered like that. Like, it's like, it's awesome to have that one on the Switch as part of this collection for $5. That's, you know, that's a steal. Yep. But yeah, I think that's kind of it.
Earl, you play anything else?
Nothing new. I was playing through Kirby's Dream Land 3 for the first time and beat that yesterday. It's a cute game, but you also kind of see that Kirby doesn't change a ton throughout the history of it. And I played more of the Ascent. The game still kind of remains good. Like, it's nothing special, but it's fun. Yeah. I guess is what I can say. Yeah, it's not going to win any Game of the Year award for me, but I'm enjoying it with my friends. So
nice. I finished Aliens Fireteam Elite. That game ends how you want an Aliens game to end.
With everyone dead?
Well, no. You do survive. Like, you don't want to die at the end.
Throw them into space and watch them float away.
Well, no, it's like, but you go through the hive. So the whole last chapter is like that. The hive scene from Aliens, where Ripley goes in to rescue Newt. So you're kind of getting to explore the entire, you know, hive, and you have to go into, you know, where the center of it and set these charges to overload and make the space station that you're on explode. And then the queen attacks, and like, you don't fight the queen. Like, I thought that was a really smart decision. Like, you're, because the queen's gonna fuck you up. Ripley barely escapes her encounter with the queen, and she had to blow it out the fucking airlock. And so this time they're just like, run. Like, you've set a timer, and it's just this like harrowing run as you're trying to get to this elevator to get off and then get on your drop ship to go back to your ship. And all the while, like, the queen is chasing you, and then she, like, you know, you get to like an area where she can't fit in, or so like she goes somewhere else, and then you're running up ahead, and all of a sudden she just like busts through like another area. Really well done. Just, you know, excellent use of the Aliens property, I think. It's weird that it's only three players, but I had a good time with it. I don't think I'll play a ton more because it is very grindy to like upgrade all your stuff. And like, I'm pretty like my gunner is pretty maxed out at this point. You do unlock like a recon class at the end, but it's like, it's like a horde type game, like where you're, you know, it's Left 4 Dead, Zombie Army 4. Like, why would you have a recon class? You don't need a stealth class to, like, it doesn't make any sense to me. But I had a good time with it. It's $40, so I don't, you know, I think I ended up putting about 15 hours in playing it. So I think I got my money's worth out of it. And then decided for whatever reason to go back and start up a new playthrough of the Halo series. So I reinstalled Master Chief Collection, and I've been playing through Championship Edition, not Championship, but the Anniversary Edition of Combat Evolved. And that game is still great.
Yeah, I really liked the first one.
It's like that first level that you're on when you're on your ship, and you know, they wake you up. It's like kind of like the tutorial level. It's very much like a Doom level. And then they drop you down in the second level onto the Halo ring.
Wide open.
It's this gigantic area. just great design all the way through. I really like the anniversary edition. It's like, you know, the visual upgrades. And I like being able to flip back and forth. So there's like some cool, like ambient, like visuals from the original, because they didn't have the detail that they could run on the original Xbox. So like they did like some really cool stuff with their design. And there's some stuff where there's like fog that's not there in the anniversary edition because they cleaned up everything. And they didn't need to hide it anymore. So yeah, that game is awesome. And evidently I still had some achievements to find. I didn't know there were skulls in the anniversary edition of it. So I've been finding them and the terminals and stuff.
Was that like something that wasn't in the original, like original Halo?
Yeah. So like if you like press select, which will flip you between the original game and the anniversary edition visuals. Yeah. If you're like standing by a skull, like you can see it on your screen, and you flip to the original game, it's not there.
Weird. That's cool.
I also say I do, because it's in other games, but I find it as intrusive in other games. They really just kind of do it up in this one. It's like it's like an overlay, and it goes like this cutscene and stuff. Right before, it used to just be like an information text, I think. But this is like a mini cutscene anytime you find one of those skulls.
Oh, the terminals, the terminals, yes. And I like how they did it in Master Chief Collection, because the original game on 360, it would pull you out of the game and take you to Halo Waypoint, the app, to watch the and like they're really cool. Like these terminals they're like 5 minute like lore cutscenes from a 343 Guilty Sparks perspective. And there's like there's 10 or 11 terminals. It's almost an hour's worth of cutscenes. And extra content added into the game, which directly ties into Halo 4, mind you. Like they talk about the librarian and the didact, which are things that people are like, we don't know what the hell this is. And yeah, because unless you went and found the terminals or read the books and the comics, it was just kind of thrown out there. Because when 343 made Halo 4, they just like dug through the lore books to come up with their story. And then with Master Chief Collection, so they have season passes now in that game. They're free. And when the season ends, that stuff doesn't get shelved forever. It's still there. So you can still earn on previous seasons. Because you just earn points when you level up or do challenges. So I've been going through and doing some of the challenges and getting unlocking some of the other stuff. It's just weird having like cosmetics for Halo 1. Like you didn't have customized, like you didn't customize your armor and stuff in Halo 1. But they figured out a way to do that here.
What do the skulls were in like Halo 2, right?
Yes.
What do they do though? Is it just a thing to collect? Like,
so
is
you that collect it? Them and then you can access them. You can add so
the modifier.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh yeah. Like like when you kill an enemy, it makes a stupid ass sound or something like that.
That's the most common one. Yes, but then there's like ones that like make the game harder where.
I mean, it's all of them. Pretty much all other ones do. It's like no radar, or you can only kill enemies with grenades, or you can only kill enemies with melee, or like enemies will instantly headshot you, or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I like all of Earl's ideas. I think these are great games.
I mean, I think these are actual things. I mean, most of them are actual things in the game, not Earl's idea.
There's also a thing called the lasso. I can't think of what it's legendary, which is the hardest difficulty, and all skulls on, which is like the hardest version of the game. And there's achievements in Master Chief Collection for that. I have no desire to try that because it's frustrating. Like some of those skulls, like Earl was saying, like you can only use grenades, or the enemies are super accurate, or all they throw is grenades. So when you add all the skulls on at once, like, the game's nearly fucking impossible. Like, not fun, but... otherwise, though, and the Halo Combat Evolved is a great game.
Mostly, that library is
The library's rough, and then the level after the library, also a little rough. But I think, like, those two levels maybe not the best, but I quickly forgot about them, right? Like, when I got to, you know, the 9th or 10th level, Keys, which is the one where you go to rescue your captain, and he's, you know, he's been assimilated into the flood. Like, I completely forgot that I had just played that the library and the one after that, which I was not having a ton of fun with. It does a really good job.
Betrayals. That's the one that starts over the stupid, like, robots shooting with the beams in the middle of the bridge, right?
Yeah. Like, you get there, and then you're about to activate the Halo, and Cortana shows up. She's like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Yeah,
he's trying to kill you, and then they sick the those guardians on you, and then you have to basically run through
the stage backwards.
It's not the full library, but. Yeah, you run through part of the library, and then
that was what I was like. They ran out of ideas, like, we're just, because I mean, the library is a huge stage to begin with, and then it's like, yeah, we're just gonna have to go back through this, have fun.
And then, and so, like, Two Betrayals is, it's the library backwards, and then a reverse run of, like, there's one of those big open world ones where you get the scorpion tank.
Yes.
So you have to, like, go all the way through that. And, like, you need to fly a Banshee, so it's not the same as, like, the first time you came through, but it's just a reused area. But yeah, I'm on the final, I'm in the I got up to the part where you get the Warthog, and you're making that final run. So, those are fun games. I'll be starting Halo 2 once I finish up the first one.
So. Damn, you're gonna do the whole thing leading up to the new one?
So right now I'm doing what I think it's called the Master Chief Saga playlist, which is 1, 2, 3, and 4 in Master Chief Collection. It's all just like you just, it goes, you know, when I finish up the next level of Halo, it'll just jump right to the first level of Halo 2. And we'll see. I've never replayed Halo 5. I think it might be the weakest campaign.
I was going to say, it's a damn shame you get to skip out on the two best campaigns, though.
I do love Reach's campaign. I don't love ODST, but...
We all have bad decisions.
No, I think for me, like, I really love missions in ODST. I don't love how they format it, though, where you're kind of wandering around that open world. To get to those missions.
That's fair.
Nathan Fillion's voice is just so dreamy.
I think it's oddly enough, I like them both because it's not necessarily Master Chief, but I think because you had characters you didn't really know what was going to happen with them, where you can't, Master Chief is a cash cow.
Yes, and he has to live.
Yes, because I won't spoil how Reach ends, but it's such a beautiful ending for a Halo game. I
think you could spoil a game that's been out that long. I think it's okay.
Yeah, it's what that came out. What
I mean, it has to be a long time ago.
I think it's over a decade now. So.
Yeah,
but the Last Stand, the thing where you're just kind of like basically holding off enemies as long as you can, you will get overwhelmed eventually. But I just love that because it's essentially what Rogue One tried to do, but in an actual good way. Not Rogue One. Yeah, I'm thinking of Rogue One.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't remember the story of ODST much. I just remember it being so different because, I mean, it kind of goes back to one with, like, the health packs and stuff like that, and having characters who had specific kind of traits and personalities, which is, I think, something they introduce more and more as you get further in the franchise. But, like, you pay the first game, because I went through Halo Combat Evolved recently as well, and you're Master Chief and then you're Master Chief A.
That's weird. So like that's a big complaint about Infinite, right? Is that it doesn't have co-op. But I'm like, I was thinking about it while playing Combat Evolved. Like, it's they're single player stories for the most part. Like up until like even ODST, like the missions are co-op because you're part of a squad, but ODST by itself, you're the rookie. And you're alone for most of it. So like co-op wasn't really built into
It's not built in the same way like it is with Gears. With Gears, you are Pinky, Dom, and Marcus, and then Coltrane, and other
people. Like Gears is a co-op game that you can play single player, and I think like Halo is a single player game that you can play co-op. They didn't think narratively about it though, for the most part, which is fine. Like enjoy it however you want. Yeah, I'm trying to also get some of my friends like to play through all of them on Legendary.
I mean, I think there's one thing to play through. I think it's another to ask people to play through on Legendary.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to like I talked to my one friend. He was like, "Yeah, I want to do it," like because there's achievements associated with all the difficulties. And he hasn't installed Master Chief Collection at all yet. So he's all into it, but like my other ones, they're not necessarily like huge Halo fans. So just trying to get them to install the game to start with. It seems they want to play State of Decay 2 instead. So
it also does not help when these games take up your entire hard drive.
It's a big chunk, yeah. The good thing about Master Chief Collection is you can choose what you want installed.
I was going to ask you if they like did that now where you could just be like, I just want to play Halo, like the original Halo.
Yeah. So I think like you initially have to install it. Like, it's a massive file, but then you can go in and delete like, I don't want 2, 3 ODST or 4.
I think that's how like the Mass Effect
is like that.
Which I feel like I should just delete that shit off my hard drive at this point.
I think it's what you need because these games get so massive.
Absolutely, dude.
Call of Duty is going to be, what, like 260 gigs or something like that this
year? Honestly, the main thing that's making me like, do I really want to get it? Like, I would get the new one, honestly, but... I have a fun... this is a game I didn't play, but I have a fun... my girlfriend played a game story.
Yeah.
I loaded up Luminous on my Switch. I'm terrible at Luminous, so I think it's neat. I don't think I've ever got past like the second song or whatever.
Okay.
But I started Luminous, and I just handed it to her. I'm like, check this out. Fucking one day later, she bought that game on her own Switch. She's good at those types of puzzle games or whatever.
Like Tetris, and like it's a very Tetris
type better game. Than me, anyways. She is. She's like. Telling me her scores, like try to top that. I'm like, listen, I will never top whatever you're doing.
To the second song.
I do, you know, just knowing like how like she enjoys Tetris. I'm like, you're gonna like this, you know, if you give it a chance. Like, because it's kind of different at first. You're like, looking at it, like, what is this? Like, but you give it a minute, and you're like, oh yeah, you get it, and it's neat. So yeah, she's like way into that game now.
And that's the remastered version.
Yeah, whatever version was on the Switch or whatever.
Yeah. I still think that, and I can't think of the full name of it, but the one that came out on the Vita, I think, is maybe the best version of that. But
yeah. I love that first song. It's like really, I don't know, cool.
All right, so I think that's everything we've been playing. There were some news, though, this week. I guess we'll start, Earl, you wrote down Tripwire CEO. That was a fucking clusterfuck.
That's all we need. That's all we need.
He's tweeted since. Like, I think that was just it. Like, he just
I think he was literally murdered. He's dead now. Guy no longer exists.
I mean, that might as well have been what happened. I mean, that was an eventful... I don't even know. What was it? I don't even remember when he tweeted it out originally. I know it was after we recorded. And it was like
it was about 2 days worth of time.
Yes, because I think he got fired on like Labor Day or maybe the Tuesday or something like that. But I mean, I guess the backstory is that this Tripwire CEO, that's what we're going to refer to him. I don't remember his name. I don't need to remember his name.
Shithead.
There you go. Tweeted out some late last week or over the weekend how, you know, like he wanted to take a brave stand and speak out. And he was like, he had to let people know that he was very much in favor of Texas as new, really stupid, really restrictive, very cruel abortion laws. And yeah, he was just like, you know, because this was over the weekend, because he was at PAX. He also posted that he was at PAX, which happened this weekend, if people remember.
Fired from PAX, Jesus.
But yeah, he tweeted that, and that was pretty much it. Well, he also tweeted this, and I mean, this is, but he was also, this is how I remember he's at PAX. He's one of those idiots. He was at the Pike Fish Market, or the Pike Market, I forget what it's called exactly, in Seattle, a famous open air. And like, it says, like, mask required, and he takes a picture in front of it, no mask on or whatever, pointing to the sign. So he's one of those dickheads. So yes, he tweets this, and you know, most people don't take it kindly,
including his entire staff, apparently.
Including his entire staff, companies that his company was working with, like, because they're a publisher for the most part, not really a developer. I do think they develop as well, but it's so like, yeah, so like, I think within like the first 6 hours or so, one of them was like, yeah, in good faith, we can no longer work with you. We're going to do everything that we can to terminate our contracts with you.
Yep. So that was Shipwright Studios.
Yes.
I think they were the co-developers of Manhunt. Or not Manhunt. Yeah.
Man-Eater.
Man-Eater. Manhunt is a different game.
That's a Rockstar game.
Yep. The Shark game, though.
Yeah. But yes, Man-Eater is the Shark game that we actually did enjoy.
Yep.
Which was a shame. And then I think the other, because they're also publishing Shivery 3, I think.
Yes.
And so they couldn't get out of that contract, but they were like, yeah, you know, we are an independent studio. This does not represent our views, or, you know, we don't operate under these standards, yada, 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 standard form. But again, you had everybody coming out of the woodworks to kind of dunk on this guy. And I would just put this in out there because I don't want to give them too much air. But, you know, the people who are like, oh, you know, X, Y, and Z is too political. This game's getting too woke. Those are the people like, what's so wrong with him sharing his opinion? It's so weird how that happens when you kind of are agree with the shit take. And it's not too political for him. He's like, I'm going to get political. I want to share this thought. And like, people are like, he should be able to. But yes, so this all goes down. People are just like, I didn't even know you could do this stuff. There are people, you could like blacklist publishers on Steam, so you don't see any of their games on your wish list or anything like that, or on their pages. People were doing that. You know, again, it's very hard to hurt them because like they don't have a new game on the market. They're coming out with one soon. But this all goes down, and I think I posted this. This was on the 7th. I posted this, and I think within... that was Tuesday. Within like 2 or 3 hours of posting that, the studio came on and said, like, yeah, we're letting him go. None of the staff supports his view, and nobody is cooking in this environment, so he has to go. And that's pretty much been his way.
Yeah.
He tweeted yesterday.
Oh, what has he said?
It's actually kind of just a gracious statement, just saying, you know, I enjoyed my time with the company and don't hold anything against the people I worked with. Like, you know,
they didn't do anything. Kind of it.
Yeah, like he's just saying to the people upset about me leaving, I encourage you to continue to support the company or whatever, you know.
Oh, good. I mean,
no, he wasn't like responding to, he's just saying, like, hey, you know, peace out and everyone's cool.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to get the details of his firing. I am sure that he got a nice severance package to go away.
Yeah, it worked out really well for him.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know.
What ticks me off is the kind of what we're always saying, these people that come out of the woodwork, though, and like, well, he's allowed to have his opinion. Yeah, he is. Like, no one's saying he can't say these things, but there are consequences for it. He runs a company. He needs to be able to, like, hey, when you say stuff like this, people may get angry and not support you anymore.
Yeah, I could, you know, easier thing is not tweeting.
Right. Like,
that was the other thing. It's not like he was asked. It's not like it came up in a conversation. It's not even like people were asking for his reaction. He's sort of like, I'm just going to take a stand and say this now. And it's like, okay, nobody asked you. You know how this is going to go. I mean, I don't know if you know you're going to get fired, but you know like this is going to have a negative reaction.
Yeah.
And you're still like, yeah, I'm going to be that brave soul who talks about this restriction there are as a white male because...
Because white males have license to talk about anything because we know it all.
We you know, everyone needs our input.
Really? It's true. Yeah.
Well, he learned that giving your input sometimes has consequences. So. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel bad for the guy. Like, he could have kept his, like, backwards thinking inside his head and he'd still have his job.
Or, I mean, honestly speaking, because, again, you know, like, this happens with the internet. He says something, people bring up receipts of stuff he said. Like, people brought up, but they did Conan Fuhrer. And, like, people, I guess he was in, like, a Christian rock band. And
yeah.
And the band, like, put some, and, like, they, you read the lyrics of the song, it's like, oh, no, this is very much, like, a pro-life, pro-religion song. But it's like, yeah, but that went on the radar because it's like, okay, this is stupid, but nobody's paying attention. When you draw attention to it in such a, like, he could have just been like, you know what, there's stuff that happened recently that I'm in favor for. And people would have been like, oh, we don't know what he's talking about. Vague enough. But he's like, no, I'm going to take a stand and I'm going to talk about this. And it's like, yeah, you talked about it with nobody asking and you got the consequences of it.
Yep. So that was a, it was a weird run of companies or people putting their foot in their mouth and then immediately it getting fixed. Less egregious than what this guy did was the whole, you know, we talked about it at the end of the show last week, Horizon Forbidden West and all their like versions and how there wasn't really an upgrade path for moving from PS4 to PS5. And Sony, I believe it was Tuesday, cycled back on that. Like they said, oh no, we messed up. We heard you. And the Horizon Forbidden West will be a free upgrade from PS4 to PS5. And then going forward, any games that are cross-gen, which I guess includes announced titles, God of War and Gran Turismo 7, they will have a $10 upgrade fee to move from PS4 to PS5. I guess there were some reporters that brought up Jim Ryan's comments prior to all this, like last year, where he talked about you know, the cross-gen stuff and how they would do free upgrades, but Sony is going to do a $10 upgrade, which is better than having no upgrade, I guess. So. Still shitty, but they did walk it back. Did the right thing, I guess, with Forbidden West. So, and then PlayStation News. There was a big event. I don't know how big it was, but there was an event.
It was a big event. I'm just gonna say up front. I mean, we kind of joked about this in the intro. I completely 100% understand now why they put it in September instead of having it over the summer. Because I think at the end of this event, I think a lot of people, I mean, I think it's a pretty decent, there's a really big announcements and stuff like that. But you look at the roadmap and there's really nothing of note for the next 5 to 6 months.
Yeah.
I think Deathloop's next week, but I don't know if that's like a big title. And then you don't have anything until Horizon really in February.
Well, yep. Good, because it's an imaginary console.
That is true. Nobody gets to see it, right? But
yeah.
But yes, and we'll get to it more in a second. But that was my initial takeaway when it was, oh, we'll make this a really good content. But I understand why you waited 3 months to show this, because like if you showed this in June, and then you realize like we have to go through all of 2021, and there's like nothing in there, it's really a bad joke.
Yep. So yeah, like that happened today, and I think the first thing they kicked it off with, this weird live action thing that they've done in the past, like where it's people doing like video gamey things in real life. But I thought this one was actually, it was weird, like, but I kind of liked it. I generally don't normally like those live action commercials they do.
I never did, but I didn't mind it because it's something that they've done before. Like, it's not the first time we've seen them do. I don't know if we've seen them start a press conference with it, but they've had these big live action kind of concept videos before. Yeah. I think the last one was like they had like the space, the pirate ship, and they had
I did think it was weird because like the way the presentation started off was like footage captured on PS5 something, and then it jumps into like this weird thing, and I was like, is this a game? Like, these look really good, and then it quickly became clear that no, this is not a game. These are people doing this.
Why?
And then, as Earl said, like in our group chat, they didn't go right into a game. They had Jim Ryan like come out and start talking. They should have just jumped right into kind of the video reveals of stuff. When they did get to that, though, the first thing they revealed was Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake from Aspyr in conjunction with the Sony and Lucasfilm. I thought this one was like, I'm super excited for it. I think Knights of the Old Republic is a great RPG.
Yeah. But
I thought it was a weird thing that it's like this remake, which was done by BioWare, is now being done by a completely different studio, not associated with EA, not going to be multi-platform. It's a PS5 only on consoles, also be on PC. So I thought that was a little strange. It was just a teaser trailer. Like,
was the original game published by EA?
No, the original game I think was published by, that's a good question. It was an Xbox exclusive.
Yeah.
Odar wasn't?
What was that?
It wasn't
EA? BioWare did not own
EA
did not own BioWare at the time. It might have been published by LucasArts.
Did BioWare used to publish their own stuff at any point or no?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. But LucasArts was a publisher at that point in time. So
Yeah.
First and third video game installments were developed by BioWare. Second was done by Obsidian. All were published by LucasArts. So,
yeah, LucasArts, man.
So I guess that was an announcement sometime last year around this time, was that Lucasfilm, not LucasArts, was going to be getting, they were going to start curating a little bit more the video game space. They weren't going to be publishing necessarily, but they were going to be licensing stuff out to individual publishers. The first thing we saw from that was that Indiana Jones Bethesda piece last year that we've heard nothing of since then. Nope. So I guess they're licensing this out to Sony and Aspyr. So, well, I have a PS5, so I'll be able to play it. So.
Yeah, it is. I would be interested in playing that just because I never played the original. I feel like going back to play that now would be.
Oh, the original was one of those games. It was good.
I know. Was. I think you can play it on Xbox.
You can't. You play it right now if you want to. Yeah.
But it's just like I'm like imagining going to play
it
this.
It does not look great anymore.
Yeah. It's a little rough. Yeah. That maybe like yeah, Jeff. When you finally do get a PS5 in 2024,
one of those games. Yeah.
I don't think it had a date, which makes sense. Like all it had was like a CG trailer of Revan, the Sith Lord from that. So, yeah, neat. I don't have these in order here on the Sony PlayStation.
But next up was Project Eve, I believe. Which yeah,
is that the one you thought was Bayonetta looking?
Yes, very much so.
Yes. There was a lot of green ass going on in that trailer.
Yeah, okay, I was gonna say that, but I hate being. I don't hate being, but sometimes I think it comes up as a proof. But I was like, yeah, some of this is very sketchy because like the way they frame her and angle her at a certain time, it's not even like it's a third person. It's like a third person from the ground up. So it's kind of like her ass is framed in the shot when she's walking.
Yeah, it was very voyeuristic.
Yes, and I'm like, okay, this is kind of gross. But like the gameplay itself is very much like it's an action, it's you know big action,
yeah.
Game with very big Bayonetta vibes, and I think I mean part of it is that, you know it's a female character, but also just like some of the moves and her using parts of her body. I think she used a heel at some point for combat, and I believe it's also a Korean game, which is actually really nifty.
It looks cool. So. Interested to see more of that. That looked well more way farther along than you know a lot of the stuff we saw. So I don't know if that had a date on it, but it looks like we'll be able to play that soon. Was after that Forspoken?
It wasn't, but we can go with that. I think the next one they showed was actually they showed Tiny Tina's one because it's the first time I seen game.
Yeah, that looks like. It looks like Borderlands.
Yeah, pretty much. I think they went on this huge thing. It's this fantasy. Like, yeah, this is Borderlands, right? Like, yeah, Borderlands. I can tell this is Borderlands. You don't even need to tell me. I'll way buy
more
it.
Yeah. It's way more colorful than Borderlands, I thought.
Still Borderlands.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, that might be one to play with other people, I guess. Those Borderlands, that seems to be the best way to play those games. I think it was Alan Wake, maybe.
Yes.
Which I was kind of surprised they, you know, spent time showcasing this, but I guess it was to get it out there first time on PlayStation.
Technically speaking, it hadn't been announced yet. I mean, I guess it had been, but like, it was just kind of like, oh, we might as well just lean into this. But it hadn't been officially announced until today.
It looks like Alan Wake, man. Which I like. Jeff, you like Alan Wake. Tony hates Alan Wake.
It's been a long time. I remember really thinking it was neat at the time, though.
Yeah, I wonder how it holds up now. Because like it was a little janky 10 years ago.
I remember, you know, at the time it was just neat because it felt like you were playing a TV, like a TV show based off a Stephen King book or something. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There wasn't a lot of stuff like that then.
Yeah, it was really, really neat at the time. Forspoken, though. Great, it looks too. Like girl from our world gets sucked into fantasy world, and it looks really neat.
Crap, I meant to look it up. Do we know who the actress is? Because her face looks really familiar to me. And I cannot face it.
Let's see. I will tell you. Ella Balinska from 2019's Charlie's Angels.
I haven't seen that. I don't know. I thought she looked familiar for some reason, and I don't know why. Because like nothing. Stood out to me. Yeah, I don't know. But yes, it was. I mean, I was just there because, I mean, it's awesome to see a black woman in the lead of. I don't think this is a AAA title, but it's like an A title.
Sure. It looks fun. Like then that the world looks really cool. Her powers look cool. They showed this at. When did we see this? We originally saw this earlier in the year, I think. Or maybe it was that Squares thing. But there wasn't, like, you didn't get any kind of, like, what's the character or any of that. But she has, like, a little bit of a sassy attitude that I kind of liked, which was kind of neat. So, yeah, that game looks a ton of fun. Looking forward to that. Guardians of the Galaxy, they showed more of that. That's a game.
I mean, I'm so conflicted because I feel like I want to get it. But every time they show it, I'm reminded, like, oh, God, I'm not a huge fan of MCU's humor in general. I don't think it translates very well into video games because it's just like your character's it's kind of like. And I like the Uncharted games, but I feel like Drake does that sometimes too. I'm like, shut up, dude. Like, I don't need you to comment on everything. Like, I want to see and explore this world to myself. And it's like when you talk to yourself and you kind of say something that's supposed to be careful or witty and it doesn't land, it just makes it awkward for me. And again, I'm still so baffled as to why Avengers is an online multiplayer game and this Guardians of the Galaxy, which is an actual team, is a single player RPG?
I don't know.
But I will say the bright side is they only took like 5 minutes on it today instead of half an hour. So,
yeah. They showed Gran Turismo 7. Sure does look like a Gran Turismo game. I mean, it's super pretty. And it looks like it's going back to some of the older style Gran Turismo stuff with, like, you know, the individual car parts and the map, and I don't know. We'll see. That game's been in development forever, so.
This is cross-gen, sorry, and this is out in March. I'm bringing this up because I don't think we've talked about release dates yet, and I don't think anything we've talked about has had a release date. I think Tiny Tina might have had one. Did Forspoken?
Forspoken was spring 2022. That's what the trailer said.
Not a date, a window.
I think Tiny Tina's was February. I think they did showcase that. You're right. Gran Turismo, March 4th, 2022. Let's see what else they show. Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection, which is a
great Uncharted game, Uncharted 4. So, you know, it kind of balances itself out.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. Like Lost Legacy is a great Uncharted game. And then there's Uncharted 4, which is
an Uncharted game.
Yeah.
Good work. Yeah. It's not as bad as 1. Let's go with that.
It's not the best 3 either.
I think I prefer 3 to 4.
Really? I mean, four is aggressively long.
It's also similar because it's like they really wanted to flesh it out, so it has worse segments where it's like I remember early on like this drunk Drake where you're like walking through like the market. And like you can't, because everybody wants to do collision detection. So you walk into anybody and the guy's like stumbling everywhere. And I'm like, this is not fun. And they do that more than once. We're like walking around an area and the fight controls, but not the actual, but like when he does like the one-on-one combat wasn't great either. But again, I don't remember 3 enough. I mean, 2 is the pinnacle. I think 2 is also CNN. At the bottom is 1. And then the 3 and 4 can fight for whatever scraps they want.
I like 1. I actually like 1 more than 3 and 4. 3 has the worst, I think. The worst level, which is like that, the pirate shipyard.
Yeah, that level is horrific.
It
lives in my memory as one of the worst levels I've ever played.
I liked 1, but it was just so much of the enemies just being, and to be fair, it does not get much better throughout the franchise.
Always bullet spongy, yeah.
Yes, but I think Juan was the worst offenders to that, where I don't know why they're like, oh, you know what, how we really make this shooter fun is make it that none of your shots matter. You just have to empty like 5 gives into an enemy anyhow.
I think that's a problem with Naughty Dog's shooting mechanics in general. I don't think they know how to make shooting fun.
So they make it tedious. Or they make it odd.
Like, we're just going to throw a ton of enemies at you. Oh, and here's 3 armored guys, too. Have fun with that. Grand Theft Auto 5 and GTA Online are coming this year?
Delayed. I thought something about they're delayed.
Yeah, GTA 5 is coming next year. I don't know next if year. I don't know if Online might be coming this year, but I think 5 is next year.
No, that's probably right. I thought I saw 2021, but
it was a shit. Give me a fucking new game.
Yeah.
Oh no. Okay. Both of them. I'm sorry. Both of them are coming in March of 2022. Yeah. So neither one are coming this year. So, because yes, I think originally we're gonna do Online separately.
Yeah, I don't care about GTA 5 anymore.
Not anymore. I'm done.
No. You don't have to, but it's gonna somehow be the best selling game for the 3rd generation in a row.
It is. Yeah. There's no way we can stop it, but get out of the way, please. I don't want it anymore. Please.
I mean I did double dip on it. You know, I didn't finish it on 360. I bought it on Xbox One. That's where I finished it out at. And I thought that version was better.
It was. It looked great. It looked fantastic, in fact. But I don't need it again.
Yeah, I beat it on PS3 of all systems, and then I think I got it on Xbox One, and I played it for like an hour. I was like, okay, I'm not doing this again. Like, I don't know. So, no, it's not. Make a new fucking game already.
That, and was it ever confirmed? They were talking about the Grand Theft Auto trilogy from PS, PS2, Xbox.
Yeah, that's what I thought this was, but nothing.
It was not confirmed, was it?
Oh.
No. So
I'd be interested in that, dude. I really would.
I would replay Vice City and San Andreas.
Yeah.
Maybe even 3. Like, if they kind of redid 3.
Yeah.
And made it look good. That's a shame that wasn't there. Then Insomniac kind of had a big blowout. They had a pair of games announced.
Yeah, they did.
Marvel's.
These are the games that got me most excited.
Marvel's Wolverine,
I think this is the games that got most people excited until we get to the .. But yeah, it's going about the games.
Marvel Wolverine. It was just a CG trailer. It's a pretty good trailer. It's like a bar, and you just see this dude kind of sitting at the bar, and then comes in close up on his hands, and out come the claws, and just cuts to black and says Marvel Wolverine, coming from Insomniac. So looks like they are putting together their own. Like a Marvel video game universe. I guess we don't know if this crosses over at all with what they're doing with Spider-Man, but.
We don't know anything. I mean, honestly, we don't even know what Wolverine looks like. We know he has his 3 claws, and that's the extent of the teaser. It's very reminiscent of the scene from First Class. I'm sure they've done it in other X-Men movies, but the one where Professor X and Magneto go to see him in the bar and he gives him, tells him to F off.
Like, fuck off, yeah.
Yeah, so, it's very much like that.
And then the other thing, as I noted, is I checked and I double-checked. There's not even a release year.
No, there's nothing. Absolutely no details at all.
Which makes a ton of sense when you see that Spider-Man 2 is coming in 2023.
Yes. So that's what I mean. It's like one of those things where it's like, oh, this is super exciting. The closest game is 2 years out. The other one is announced and may exist in some form in 2 years, but it won't be out then. I mean,
no, I'm thinking 3 at the minimum. This is probably the Ratchet team working on that.
Yes. Remember? I mean, it seems a combination, because I think the directors are the people who did Miles Morales.
Okay.
And the creative directors from the original Spider-Man are doing Spider-Man 2. So it feels like it's a combination. It's probably, I assume what happened is that when Ratchet was wrapping up, that they started moving people over to this game. Like, you know, between like when Miles finished last year and then Ratchet finished this year, you start moving people over. You have people working on Spider-Man 2, then you move people over, and they probably started working on Wolverine, and then they'll probably be fully move over. Then the Ratchet team will be divided between these two teams for the next few years.
Yeah. Yep, and then they showed Spider-Man 2, which was a longer CG trailer.
Yes.
That showed Peter and Miles working together. And I was beginning to think that maybe it was Kraven.
I'm pretty sure it is Kraven.
Okay, so he was the one kind of doing the voiceover about...
He was the one narrating, like, I've been looking for a challenge and everything.
But
and then Venom, then they the one who Venom. Comes in. Yeah, and Venom's the one who comes in and I accept. Or we accept. So, yes, I think that would be a very interesting mashup. And the voice of Venom is being done by Candyman himself, Tony Todd.
Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, 2023 and maybe 2024 are looking big for Insomniac and Marvel.
Yeah, maybe one day.
I kind of like the, like, look, I get that people get upset about, like, you know, these Spider-Man games being locked to Sony. And originally, I guess people were like, oh, you know, because, like, they have the movie rights, it probably made sense. Looks like Marvel is just like, hey, you, like, whoever wants to do shit with our stuff, do it.
And I mean, that's pretty much what they're doing. And I mean, kudos to them, because I'm not going to say, like, well, quality's been there. We've played Avengers. I don't think anybody remembers Iron Man VR exists.
I heard that was not bad, though.
Yeah, but nobody remembers it exists.
That's fair.
I mean, it's VR, so.
That also helps. But
no one remembers VR exists.
Yeah, so that I mean, Sony didn't, and they, the quality, you know, but that, withstanding, I mean, like, we've had Miles Morales, we've had Spider-Man, we had Ultimate Alliance 3, we've had the Avengers, we had Iron Man VR, we have Guardians coming up, we have Fire Sons early next year, we have this Spider-Man game, we have the Wolverine game. They're getting those games out there, and for the most part, you know, it's so you're helping their brand, and clearly people are excited by them. I mean, again, kudos to them. I mean, I hate to make, but you get DC. Like, they've not done anything since Batman came out 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting Suicide Squad and Gotham Knights eventually, but yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this is the method you need to take if you want to get those. There's so many properties that both companies own that it's, you know, it's great that they're getting in people to actually take interest in them. So I am curious to see what comes of what else Marvel has up their sleeve. And who else they can be working with. I mean, we've had Square, we've had Sony, we've had Nintendo. Who is Fire Access is that Take Two? Is that 2K?
That's
Access is 2K, yeah.
Yes. So, you know, a bunch of, I mean, big, like, top line publishers and developers working with your IP.
Yep. And they wrapped it up with a dad and his whiny boy.
Who's now a
boy.
Whiny teenager.
Boy. Yes, he's like a teenage boy. He's talking a lot more this game.
Oh, yeah, a lot more. God of War Ragnarok.
Before we get there, I don't even know how to pronounce this. Did we talk about Chai?
No, we did not. You know what? It wasn't listed on the thing I'm looking at. So yeah, that looks cute.
That game looks really pretty. I don't know what it is, but the game looks really cool.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It looked like they're, you know, takes place on an island. And she seems to be exploring her heritage. But there's pirates that have machetes. They're chasing you. I don't know. It was all over the place. Looked fun. Super cute. Kind of into it. So. But yeah, God of War Ragnarok was their big closer. Looks like some God of War. You're gonna fight.
But apparently, it's the end of the trilogy in two games now.
Yeah, I was confused by that. They're like, oh, you know, we wanted to wrap up this North God mythology. I'm like, wait, there's only been one other game. What are you wrapping up? But I guess it's not a trilogy.
Not anymore, apparently.
Duology.
Which still works. It's just so weird that I'm talking about wrapping it up. I'm like, it's only been one other game here. I feel like I missed something.
I mean, I'm not opposed to them, you know, moving God of War to another realm.
Right. Like, it's fine. I just, they had said, I don't know if they said maybe everybody just believed it would be a trilogy.
Probably.
But if you can wrap up your story in two games, go for it. Why not? I don't care.
Yeah.
This, I will say that, like, one of the things that I disliked about aside from the boy in God of War, was it four? I mean, it was just called God of War, but is it the fourth game? Yeah.
No, it's not. It's like the sixth.
It's game. The seventh game, because they have all those other. They have the two PSP games, and then they have that prequel, right?
Yes, which was bad.
Yeah,
don't play that game.
But yeah, so this is like the you know, the new mainline game. One of the things I thought that was missing was that, like, you only have that one fight against one of the big bosses, and this looked like you were going to fight like a giant crocodile, like some centaurs. Like, this is getting a little more like, hey, maybe we're going to bring back some of those big set piece boss battles or whatever. And you're still going to fight humans because, like, Thor is your size. That other guy that you put the head back on. Did you put the head back on? Or are you free him? He's bigger than Kratos, but there's still trolls and stuff. But I hope that they bring those big boss battles back.
I'm fine with them doing like the old style God of War games. Also, kind of like how Resident Evil switches it up a little bit too. You know, like sometimes it's first person, sometimes it's I don't know.
I did see that. Like, I mean, you don't just have to use the axe in this one. He has his Blades of Chaos.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything because I don't remember. I didn't finish this game, and I'm just like, did he get that back, or did he bring it back for this game? I was like, oh, it's cool, because I prefer to change the Blades of
Chaos. I think he does, doesn't he, at the end of that game?
Oh, yeah, he goes back and gets them.
Yeah.
There's a whole, like, scene. Yeah. Yes, but it's cool, because I think they're very... Like the hammer is cool as well, but I felt like the chains are just such unique weapons in general. And they're kind of very, they very much are part of Kratos to me, so it was really nifty to see him using them. And he gets the hammer, so he can use both.
Yeah.
It's just that over-the-shoulder camera just gives the game a whole different feel than, like, the, you know, I don't know, the way the old games were, the more zoomed out.
Where it was pulled out a little bit more, yeah. Yeah, it does. It shortens your field of view, so the battles are they're closer to you, and you have to react much quicker because you don't have that space visually. I don't know. We'll see. I bet it's good. I bet people love it. I bet I hate that boy.
Boy. Chris hates you.
I will say I was happy with Kratos, like, got a little snippy with him in that trailer. Like, that kid's, like, trying to tell his dad what's up, but he's like, no! Yeah, that's right.
Shut up, boy.
Tell that kid to shut up.
I got two things that I thought of while we were going through all this shit. One is, if you want to play a cool Wolverine game, remember that...
Wolverine Origins is pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. X-Men Origin.
Much better than the movie it's based off of.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good, really, like, surprisingly good licensed game. I just looked, it's not backwards compatible on Xbox, unfortunately, but...
That sucks.
You got a 360, you know, whatever, PS3, whatever. Like, that was, I remember being like, it was like M-rated too. It was like super violent.
Yes.
It was a cool game. But then, and also when you brought up Gran Turismo, completely unrelated though. I remember I was like asking Twitter about this. I want to know what you guys think. What do you guys think of that? Like Cruisin' Blast and that, Hot Wheels Unleashed game, like those games. Like, you guys interested in either of those or what?
Hot Wheels, I am.
I think you said that last week. I am interested in Cruisin'. I'd be so much more interested if it was, if it had an online component. I will still probably pick it up, but I don't know. I mean, it's only $40, so I still might pick it up.
I don't want both of them. Like, they're both my kind of racer, it looks like. Just colorful, fast, arcadey. They both look good to me. Like I think I'm getting both of these, and I guess I'll just take Forza for free.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, Forza is. There's no reason not to. Like, it's on Game Pass,
yeah,
and it is nearly assured that it is going to be a fantastic racing game.
Yeah, and obviously that's going to be like the best racing game of the year, no doubt about it. But like both of these, to me, I feel like are under the radar and look pretty fun.
How much is that Hot Wheels game?
I think that's $40 too.
That's not
although bad. There's like a like if you look at games coming soon, it's like there's like a $90 version. Like, what the fuck?
I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. Good with base games.
Yeah, and speaking of free racing games, there's a game on Xbox now called Asphalt 9 Legends. Is the ninth in the Asphalt games. It's a free to play game, so it has that like free to play mechanic, like where there's time and stuff. But if like the actual racing in that game is pretty solid, Jeff, you might want to try it out.
Yeah, how is there 9 games? I've never fucking heard of this.
They were all like mobile games previously. Oh, okay. And so I like they've taken that mobile free to play setup. And you know, you just play it on your TV now. I'm not a fan of some of the way it works, like, you know, how you upgrade your cars, but I played like the first two sections of that game, and it's pretty cool. Like the racing wise, I don't know, you know, if it gets super grindy after that, but what's there is pretty good. Yeah. So that was the Sony showcase. I guess there was rumors that Blue Point would be showing off a Metal Gear Solid remake. That didn't happen again. I didn't see any rumors on Silent Hill again. So I guess maybe that one has finally died down.
Did we skip over Ghostwire Tokyo?
Oh, we did. Yes, that was not here. Neither was Deathloop.
Ghostwire Tokyo was here.
I don't see it on. I don't see it on their showcase list that they have.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I forgot about kid games that were getting updates. I'm like, oh right, that game, because that was announced what 2 or 3 years ago, and maybe I've not seen it. I think they've shown it recently. It does not look like what I remember looking at when they announced it, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was a first-person game. But I don't know what that game is. Like, aesthetically, it looks pretty cool. That's another one. Microsoft owns them now, so.
So they're doomed.
Doomed. Sure. I mean, if I want to play Ghostwire, though, I think I'll just, like, I think that's coming early next year. I'll just wait till, you know, the 6-month exclusivity is up and play it when it hits Game Pass for free. I guess the other rumor that I saw was that maybe there's a Twisted Metal coming. I guess there's a TV show or cartoon coming at some point for that as well. Seems weird. But that was not shown either, so. Did they announce if they're doing another showcase anytime soon?
Nope.
Yeah. I cut out sometime during their post-show.
Which wasn't really much of a post-show. It's just like, oh, great. I mean, it was fine, but I thought the post-show would be like, oh, we're going to do deeper dives with the cut. It's like, no, it's just interviews and stuff.
Which was weird because it wasn't like interviews with an outlet. It was interviews with a dude from Sony.
Yes.
Man, PlayStation had a great showcase today. Like, you are not independent. You work for them. And I guess there was a acquisition that Sony made as well. I am forgetting the name of them, but they make multiplayer games, so maybe we'll be seeing something from them from Sony. And I think that's it. That was the Sony PlayStation Showcase 2021. And I think, Earl, you're right. Like, the reason they held off on that was because the earliest anything that's really coming outside of, like, you know, the stuff we already knew about, Guardians of the Galaxy, etc.
Deathloop is... And then, because Horizon is the earliest thing here, is, I think, March of next year.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, it's going to be 6 months away. And in some cases, 2 or 3 years out. Which by then, maybe you'll be able to find a PS5. So,
hey! Bonus.
And Tony and I will, at that point, be able to dust ours off to play these games.
I think I'm
for I have sure a PS5? Just, do I really?
I'm just waiting, man. Like, there's no rush. I'm going to do the late-gen thing like I did with PS2. And just have, like, all these cool games to play.
I mean, It will work out in your favor, Jeff, right?
For sure,
like you'll be able to sit down, like, you'll have Demon Souls, you'll have Ratchet.
I have the whole generation, basically, you know, whatever is out there, yeah.
And then, like, all right, now it's time, you know, all over now, and you'll be able to get the system at, like, a maybe, like, a revised system, like a Slim or whatever, at a cheaper price.
The games will all be...
cheaper
mostly too, yeah. $20-$30 games, so yeah, that's where I'm good. Like, you know, Xbox like owns every fucking developer as it is, pretty much, so it's like I'll be good.
Yeah. I don't think any of us are getting Deathloop because we'll just wait for
it to be on Game Pass.
all these other Sony games are hitting. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly why I'm waiting, right? Like, they own Arcane, they own Bethesda.
I think it's only like a 6 month wait, so
yeah, it'll be out in March,
roughly speaking. Yeah,
and you know, there's plenty of other games for us to play, so we won't have that one. I don't know if we'll have anything new. So we may be back next week with some new games, though. Maybe we'll have beaten Zombie Hitler.
God, I hope so.
Not new. That's old. But I do want to hear about Hitler getting killed. That sounds fun.
I'm in favor of killing Hitler if we can kill Hitler.
Controversial opinion.
Hitler should die.
Yeah, Hitler's bad.
I mean, to be fair, he's already dead. We're recoiling him.
Yes, for the fourth.
I like to do it in video games. It's fun.
So that was a question that came up when we were playing. I think Walt asked, how many times do you think you've killed Hitler in a video game, Jeff?
I don't know. Not that many. Like, it's in, Wolfenstein, like the original Wolfenstein, and then, I don't know. Was it in the new ones? I don't even remember.
Lots. So many times.
I don't know. Like, you know, in those Medal of Honor games, you weren't like killing Hitler at the end, were you? Like, it was like,
I don't think like those Medal of Honor games, you were like the original ones.
They're pretty like you're doing like participating in like real battles. And
yeah. Like you were a grunt soldier. You weren't BJ Blazkowicz going in and raiding a bunker,
like, zombie Hitler or whatever. But no. I don't know. It's cool to kill them. It's fun.
It's fun. It's fun to kill Nazis.
Yeah.
In video games.
Yeah.
And real life. Wait, no.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's fun to watch them get punched in the face. I'll tell you that.
I mean, fuck them. Kill them.
Well, we may have. Hopefully, we will have defeated Zombie Hitler for the fourth time.
I'll be playing Mario in like 10 fucking minutes, hopefully.
Oh, so we will have new stuff then. Wario, Earl, are you getting Wario?
Yes. Actually, that's a good question. I mean, I bought it. It should probably be on my system until I'm knocking like 10 minutes. Yeah, so I'm getting Wario.
I like how the reviews are like, this thing is short. It's like, yeah, dude, it's a fucking high score game. Like, it's not like a, you know what I mean? Like, what did you think WarioWare was supposed to be?
Haven't they always been short, though?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I just watched the one like IGN review on YouTube, and it was like, yeah, this game is only about 2 hours long, and like, I just don't know how much lasting power it is. It's like, dude, it's a high score game. Like, it's an arcade game, dude. What the fuck do you? I sometimes wonder, like, where reviewers are coming from with shit. Were you expecting Breath of the fucking Wild, like from WarioWare? I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will be back next week with Wario, Zombie Hitler, maybe some other stuff. Jeff, yeah. Say goodnight.
Goodnight.